Grizzly One.
Their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today, why, and what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour of 5, Dennis Edwards, lead singer of the Temptations, unfortunately passed away over the weekend. My favorite was Eddie Kendricks, part of the great Motown group, the Temptations. And a lot of their music was themed on what was happening in the 60s and 70s. So let me transport you into what's happening in this new year, 2018, as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us for this broadcast by NJDiet.com. The Hawk is talking out there as I am taking you home on the drive home at 5, as I did on Friday. And when I first came on board on Friday, I was reporting to all of you that the Dow had plunged 666 points in the biggest drop since the Great Recession. But remember, that's 666. And then after the program, I ended up walking up 6th Avenue, Avenue of the Americas. And it was 666 Avenue of the Americas. And do you know who owns that building? The Kushner family. And then today, unfortunately, the Dow plunged 1,100 points in what experts are saying is a readjustment. Meantime, the U.S. government is set to borrow nearly $1 trillion this year, an 84% jump from last year. And I see that we have the trifecta, the troika, the trinity of billionaires who are dancing the horror and the tarantella because they've never made more money in their life. In fact, let's call them the robber barons of our time. And I hate them. I loathe them. I despise them. Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, Zuckerberg of Facebook, and Jeff Bezos, who wants to take away every job that exists in America for Amazon and replace all of you with robots. And then finally, over this weekend, as people were hacking and coughing and sort of working their way through this flu that's spreading fast and furiously, I found out that the CDC, whose new director was sacked, the Trump appointee, because she had invested in tobacco stocks, is about to fall off a funding cliff. It's already planning to pull back on work that protects the world from pandemics. And then naturally, the unbelievable situation of the Philadelphia Criminal Eagles winning the Super Bowl against another team that I hate and loathe and despise also, the Brady Bunch and Coach Belichick, the New England Patriots, the fans going out into the street, burning their city down, turning over cars, and any excuse to loot, any excuse to loot. And what are we talking about? What is making the rounds of the news? These stupid freaking memos. First, it was the Nunes memo. Oh, we were told, oh, my God, FBI agents are going to be in danger. Their informants, their cooperators are going to be executed in the streets. Strategies and all kinds of undercover operations are going to be exposed. And I looked at it based on what the Democrats had said, and I said, there's nothing here. It's like, okay, well, where's the beef? And now all of a sudden I notice they're going to take a vote any moment in the House Intelligence Committee as to whether they're going to release the response Democratic memo. And I'm wondering, what could possibly be in this memo that is going to make me think any differently than what was in the Republican memo? But on the line to discuss all that is the liberal heartthrob of the nation. But every time he's on the Fox News channel, the punching bag for all the conservative commentators. Christopher Hahn, thanks for joining us here on the drive home at 5 again, Chris.
Always good to be with you, my man.
Okay, so I was listening to Democrats for about a good two solid weeks. And I got to tell you, Christopher, fear, fright, hysteria, and hype. Oh, my God, if you drop this memo, our FBI agents in the field are going to be in danger. Their informants, their cooperators could be under threat of execution. And just people coming up to their homes and blowing them away. Our basic abilities to do surveillance are going to be jeopardized. And I said to myself, I didn't see in the four pages that they're revealing sources and methods. So why are you Democrats getting so bent out of shape?
Well, they didn't reveal sources and methods, and there was much to do about nothing. But there were a couple things in there that were dangerous. It was the first time in history a subject of a FISA warrant was actually named publicly. And that's something that shouldn't be taken too lightly. And I think that's what the FBI, you know, Rod Rosenstein's not a Democrat, he's a Republican. Christopher Wray is a Republican. They were all against it. And Democrats were supporting them for that very reason, I believe. And I think that, you know, the House will vote today to allow the release of the Democratic memo, and the president probably won't release it because he's just that kind of guy. And they'll have to vote again as a full House to release it on their own.
Well, in fact, you mentioned the president earlier today at a public engagement. He had this to say about the memo and what he feels is his rationalization that now and does not need to be a further Mueller investigation.
They were like death. And un-American. Un-American. Somebody said treasonous. I mean, yeah, I guess why not? You know. Can we call that treason? Why not? I mean, they certainly didn't seem to love our country very much.
He's disgusting.
No, wait a second. I mean, he was talking about the Department of Justice and the FBI. I mean,
yeah. He's a disgusting human being.
Now, hold on a second. Let me get this straight. You were upset because we learned about Carter Page being under surveillance, a person of absolutely no consequence as far as I am concerned. And
what about Papadopoulos? He was in there, too.
Oh, the coffee boy. Yeah, no. He's gotten, he copped a plea, so he's an important player, along with, obviously,
right,
General Flynn and Manafort.
I wouldn't be so sure that Carter Page hasn't copped a plea, either. I think that's assuming a lot.
Now, hold on a second. Do you know something that we don't?
I don't, but I just think that it's odd that a guy who's been under surveillance by the FBI since 2013, a guy who had a FISA warrant renewed three times. Okay, so, you know, the first time, you know, you get it. You got 90 days to prove the guy's doing what you think he did. It was renewed three times, and you have to bring in evidence that he's actually engaged with a foreign power against the interests of the United States. So I'm wondering why he's walking the streets, and I think that a lot of people are wondering that.
Wow, that is really conspiratorial. You know, you're almost sounding like Nunes from a different perspective.
Oh, I'm not being, look, I'm just giving an opinion. This is a guy who had three FISA renewals, and I wonder what is keeping him out there.
So let me connect the dots. So basically what you're saying is maybe he's a undercover operative, a person who is providing information for this ongoing investigation, but under the cover of being pro-Trump, and that's right, bring me before the Intelligence Committee. I will testify in an open hearing.
Right.
That's all cover.
Look, nobody who has his PhD could be as stupid as Carter Page appears. So I am wondering what's going on there. There is some subterfuge here,
Carter,
that we don't know about.
Excuse
I'm guessing. I have no intel. But it's just my theory that there's something up with him.
Could it just be, and think about this, Christopher Hahn, the thing that motivates most men who are dogs, the fact that he is hooked up with Svetlana and a number of high-priced hookers in Moscow and has his way with them, and he can't wait to get back there?
It could be. It could be he just loves his life when he's in Russia. Maybe that's it.
Now, do you have any idea, any inclination of what may be in the Democratic memo that we will either see or won't see, at least now, based on what the Intelligence Committee of the House is going to vote on momentarily?
Yeah, I think what's in the Democratic memo is probably filling in the blanks from the Republican memo, which you know, is pointed, which wants to lead to a conclusion, which I don't even know what the conclusion is of that memo, frankly. I read it 25 times trying to figure it out. So I think the Democratic memo will put it all in context and tell what exactly went into getting that FISA warrant. It wasn't just the dossier, which, by the way, still hasn't been disproved. It wasn't just the dossier, but there were other evidence there, I'm sure, and that's probably what you're going to find out.
Do appreciate that, Christopher Hahn, but I must tell you there is a tremendous ball of confusion for me and I think most Americans as we talk about the Democratic dossier versus the Republican dossier. Never have I seen more words spent in giving us fear, fright, hysteria, and hype, in which we the people, suckers that we are, we pay the high taxes. We should be privy to see it all. Let's see the Republican version. Let's see the Democratic version. Lay it all out and let us come to our own conclusions so we will not be engulfed in this ball of confusion.
Curtis Sliwa, the deepest knowledge of the city.
If you're the next mayor of the city of New York.
The Drive at 5, 77 WABC.
Five 26. I don't know. This chairwoman of NYCHA, the New York City Housing Authority, which runs the projects, the many projects that house residents in the city of New York. Yeah, the chairwoman must have pictures of the mayor flaunting around or, I don't know, fornicating, copulating with donkeys south of the border in Ensenada. I mean, it's just really ridiculous now. He has sacked almost every other major member of the NYCHA board, except the woman in charge. And she's been missing in action on the lead paint scandal, in which she signed off saying that inspections were done of the apartments in NYCHA. They were not. She's lied before city council hearings. She's lied on other occasions. And now she's come up with every cockamamie excuse in the world why there is no heat and hot water in many of the housing facilities, including the Patterson housing projects, where we were told by Camilla Price, who recently ran against Ruben Diaz Jr. on the Reform Party line to unseat him as the Bronx Borough President, about how they had set up a yellow school bus outside of the Patterson Projects on 146 and 3rd Avenue in the heart of the South Bronx, a warming bus so that residents could go down there, warm themselves, no toilet, no amenities. If you had to go somewhere, tough noogies, you're on your own. And now, all of a sudden, the chairwoman is expected to appear before a city council hearing in which they're really going to grill her on the many complaints that NYCHA residents have. But she said, I have to do jury duty. I don't know if I'll be able to be there tomorrow on the line to discuss it. Camilla Price, thanks for joining us again on the Drive Home at 5, Camilla.
Thank you for having me again, Curtis.
Okay, so I see the demonstrations at some of the projects, outraged citizens. I don't see any support for the chairwoman. Why do you think that is? Is that she has no visible support at this point at all from any NYCHA residents who have spoken up?
She don't even think about the residents. Let's put it that way. I understand jury duty is a job you all must do, but if your residents is having problems such as broken doors, no heat, no hot water, I think that will be a priority over you going to jury duty. I mean, they could have postponed it a day, let her go speak in front of the city council, and then report for jury duty. She stated that she's going to go to jury duty first, and if they don't keep her, then go to the city council. I mean, that's telling people that she does not care. She's showing them they don't care. That's why they're protesting. That's why they're bombarding the mayor's office with phone calls. They're not responding. That's why they are they're doing civil disobedience acts in order to get her attention, and she's just ignoring them.
Well, in fact, Camilla Price and everyone else out there, the mayor is staunchly digging in. He's obstinate. We all know that he's pretentious, but he continues to defend the defenseless.
Shola took office. The Housing Authority was literally teetering on the brink of bankruptcy. She righted the ship. I want to give her a lot of credit, and look, I think it would have been a different situation if what was being done in the previous administration had complied with the law. That's where the problem started, as you know. I wish we had caught it a lot sooner. I'm very clear about that. I think we have our share of missteps. But when you put that mistake, which predates us, up against the totality of what she's achieved, I continue to have great faith in her.
Now, Camilla, he's claiming here that the chairwoman has rescued NYCHA from bankruptcy. Do you get any sense in the world that she has achieved anything in the time she's been head of the housing agency?
I'm really trying to still figure out how where he thinks that statement he made was true. Everyone knows NYCHA has been having financial issues even in the past administration, in Bloomberg era. So for him to say that she brought them out of the brink of financial disaster is telling a real, as you said, in truth to not only the people in NYCHA, but to whomever he was saying that statement to. She has done nothing. And yes, if they would have, as he said, did not follow the past administration, the lead poison issue would not be as bad as today. But they know they're wrong, and they're continuing. So they're not helping the situation. They're just making matters worse.
You appreciate that. It's expected that hearing will take place tomorrow in the chambers of the city council. And more importantly, there's the Jeter family who expect to be in attendance. No relationship to the former Yankee Derek Jeter or the owner of the Florida Marlins now. No. Jeter family had a roof of their apartment collapse on them, destroyed their apartment in a NYCHA facility in Crown Heights. The mayor personally promised them 3 weeks ago that he would find them new housing in one of the NYCHA units. It's been 3 weeks. They haven't even gotten a call from one of the aides of City Hall that is supposed to be working on this transition for them. This mayor, who would rather run for the presidency of the United States on our dime, is missing in action. But then again, I warned you about this part-time mayor, this dope from Park Slope, a long time ago, and yet, unfortunately, many of you decided to re-elect him, so we're stuck with this slacker and deadbeat for another 4 years.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Lewa.
Guardian Angel found a Curtis Lewa.
Really trying to help our cause.
WABCRadio.com.
I-42. God, what a lame song. Sounds like it came out of a Ronald Reagan, Newt Rockne, black and white movie that was on the big screen after WW2. But it's the theme song of the world champion Philadelphia Eagles. And on the line to discuss their victory and the insurrection in the streets of Philadelphia, the burning, the car tossing, and the reason that they used to loot there, our own Larry Menti. You can hear him right here on WABC Radio Saturday nights from 11 to 2 a.m. And a guy who has become iconic in the city of brotherly looting, Philadelphia.
I love that song. Play that song again.
Yeah, please.
One more time.
Please play that song.
Play it one more song. You know how many times I've heard that in the last 24 hours? There we go. Sing it with me, Curtis. Fight, Eagles. Fight, come on.
Now, pluck the Eagles. Pluck the feathers of the Eagles. Larry, what's up with the looting, the rioting, the turning over of cars in Philadelphia? I mean, I realize people in Philly, they need another reason to go out and loot, but why?
Yeah, you can't read. Look, what you're reading is not anything like it was going on here. They took the worst that happens, like they do to Philadelphia all the time. But by the way, we love that. You go ahead and keep criticizing Philadelphia and Philadelphia fans and the team and keep calling us underdogs and keep attacking the fan base. They love it in Philadelphia. Love, love, love it. Because they know it's not the truth.
Oh, and so they're declaring what we saw fake news, right? Them rioting in the streets.
You take the worst examples and you exemplify it and you say the entire fan base is like like that, or the entire team is like that if a team member does something. Look, like the guy, for instance, that was on film eating horse dung, right? Who hasn't eaten a little horse dung in their life? Figuratively and literally, right? It was kind of poetic. I've done it on the air. You've probably done it on the air every day.
Horse dung?
Yeah, didn't you see that video?
Yeah, but I'm saying, so you think it's tradition, a normal thing to be consuming horse dung?
No, I don't. I think it was poetic. You know what it was a call for? It was a call to fire Chris Collinsworth because he ate it the entire time during that broadcast.
So now all of a sudden you're claiming that it was like CNN is to Trump or MSNBC is to Trump. The deck was stacked against the Eagles.
No. Of course it wasn't. They won. It doesn't really matter what is done. The team was going to win. It was a team of destiny from the very beginning. And by the way, this team is going to be good for like another decade. This wasn't just one game. This is the beginning of an era because they've got 22 of their 24 starters signed for next year. So, yeah, no, it didn't matter what Chris Collinsworth said. It didn't really matter. They're calling for his firing in Philadelphia, by the way. It didn't matter what he said. But I just thought it was kind of poetic, well, given what he did on the air.
Well, I've been watching the film footage. They're so good at being pyromaniacs and setting fires, and maybe they can find Collinsworth's home and light it up.
It's amazing. You know what I mean? It's amazing. Last night, after the game, I decided to drive through Philadelphia. Didn't see one fire. But, of course, you're going to center on it because you saw it in the news or because you saw it in the paper.
Larry, let me ask you this. You have a dilemma that we as Giant fans had back in 1990, when Phil Simms fractured his foot during the regular season and Jeff Hostetler took us into the Super Bowl. We beat the Buffalo Bills. But then again, you know, it's Phil Simms. You have a situation. Nick Foles is the hero for the Eagles of the Super Bowl. But you got Carson Wentz in waiting. He won't be ready for the beginning of the season. But there's going to be that time when, I mean, who do you go with? If Carson Wentz has recovered, if he has his physical faculties back, do you bench Nick Foles and go with Carson Wentz?
Well, absolutely. That's what's going to happen. I mean, it's really not a question. It's what's going to happen. Nick Foles understands that. He talked about it. Carson Wentz knows that's what's going to happen. The team has come out and said that. Peterson's come out and said it. The question is, first of all, when is Wentz going to be ready? And it came out today that it's reasonable to think he might start the season. It's not probable, but it's reasonable to think he might start the season. So he's healing faster than they thought. The question is, do you trade Nick Foles? Now, the fan base would go crazy if they did. However, think about it for a second. His value is never going to be higher than it is right now. They could get a first-round draft pick for him. There's a lot of teams out there that are craving quarterbacks. So, as much as I love the guy, and I've met him a couple times, he's like the nicest guy you could ever meet in your life. And as much as he's loved in this city right now, it might be smart to trade him.
J-E-T-S. J-E-T-S.
Hint. The Jets could use him, right, huh?
Right up the turnpike, right?
Yeah, no, I think, believe me, Howie Roseman's going to get calls next week, starting next week. He'll get phone calls finding out if Nick Foles is available. And Howie Roseman he built this team. He's a great general manager. He won Executive of the Year. And he's going to listen. I can guarantee he's going to listen to offers because it's going to be hard to pass up. If you get offered a first-round pick or a couple of draft picks, I think they'd pull the trigger.
Now,
I think they'd trade him.
Larry Menty, we can hear you every Saturday night from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning. You pulled a W di Scrazia. My oldest son, Anthony, actually joined you in support of the Philadelphia Eagles against the Brady Bunch and Coach Belichick. I equated that to me wanting to exile Anthony like Benjamin Franklin did his son when he sided with the royalty and not with the colonialists. But just give me an update. When will the actual curfew end in Philadelphia as the police are trying to rein in the looters, the arsonists, the criminals, the rapists, and marauders?
Yeah, the curfew is over. By the way, I'm very proud of your son. The fact that he could see greatness, even though he had his father looming over him saying, no, you have to be prejudiced, you have to be biased against them, even though you were there, he saw greatness. he knew a good thing when he saw it, and he grasped onto it. And I'm telling you right now, it's going to be a while before the Giants and Jets get good. They're going to get great again, but it's going to be a little bit. Jump on the bandwagon. Join the rest of the country. Have you seen the map? All the rest of the country are Eagles fans right now. We'll take you. Curtis, come on down.
God.
Come on.
You know, you just threw salt in the wounds. I had to watch that commercial with Eli Manning and Odell Beckham, and it made me want to vomit. I'm a tried and true Giants fan. I hate the Eagles, but I also hate the Brady Bunch and Coach Belichick. I'm like Switzerland when it comes to both teams. I hate them both equally.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
There's nobody that knows this city better than Curtis Sliwa.
WABCRadio.com.
Padre Filio Spiritu Santo. Ah, the Pope, Pope Francis, right? The Argentine closer to his fellow countryman Che Guevara than he is to JC. Has been caught in a lie by the Associated Press. No wonder why last week on his flight back from Chile and Peru to the Vatican, he was accusing the media of fake news. Sounded very much like Trump. Apparently, he had received an 8-page letter from a victim of pedophilia, because as you know, the popes have protected their pedophiles in the Roman Catholic Church and created them as pedophiles on pedestals. So we had the Polish Pope, John, you had the German Shepherd, and now you have the Argentine Pope, and they do nothing but protect the pedophiles. Well, this victim had given the Pope an 8-page letter actually critiquing all of the pedophilia in Chile. And this bishop, who was responsible for covering it up, who himself gave the Pope his resignation twice. The Pope refused the resignation and called the victims liars who were making it up. You've been cold-busted, Pope. You lied.